Blog Talk Radio.
Victorious by grace.
just as like mountains high soaring above, by clouds which are fountains of goodness and love.
To all life thou givest, to all great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish like leaves on the tree, then wither and perish, but not changing thee.
Thou reignest in glory, thou rulest in light, thine angels adore thee, all bearing their sight. All praise we would render,
blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I speak, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, now I'm bound to proclaim in his child forever I am.
Brothers and sisters, I notice that we have a few of us who are joining here. We want to welcome everyone who joined tonight, and we are going to go into a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we want to come to you this moment to give you thanks and praise, Lord. You said we are two or three joined together doing your will. You are in the midst. We thank you that you are here in the midst of us, Lord. And help us, dear Father, tonight that the Holy Spirit will fall upon your children. We ask you tonight, Lord, to bless each one of us, those who are coming to join us, dear Father. We ask you to give them traveling mercies so that they will reach home safely if they are at work or wherever they are, that they will join us so that we can give you all the praise. Now, dear Father, we lift up this line to you. If there is no other time, dear Father, we are in serious time in this last days, Lord. And we have saw all the things that is happening around us. And we are asking you, Lord, to help us that we will be strong and also be disobedient in doing and sharing your word. And as we come on this line, Lord, we come as sinner, asking you, Lord, as you said to us, we must confess all our sins. We have to get victory over all our sins. So we are children, we are son, we are daughter, we are grandchildren, Lord. We come before you this moment to present ourselves to you, our life to you, dear Lord. We are asking you to search us, see if there is anything within us that should not be, dear Father. We ask you to remove every sin from us, so that we will cover under your robe of righteousness, that we will be your representative as you have called us. We will be your disciples, your ambassador, your servant, that we can go out to share the gospel message of truth that you have given unto us, Lord. You said you love to hear when your children settle in the truth. And Lord, this truth for this time, this last days that we are in, dear Lord, we have seen all the things that is happening around us. And dear Father, we know we alone cannot handle it. So we are living our life. We are placing our life, our heart, our soul, our body, our whole being to you, dear Lord. We thank you for what you have done for us and our family members. You have provided food, shelter, clothing for each and every one of us on this land, Lord. We lift up to you, Brother Yudi. We also lift up Sister Melissa and the children, Lord Caleb and Elizabeth. Also lift up Brother Bernard and the team that is over there, the store. We lift up to you and the all work that you have been allowing to go on, dear Lord. We lift up our dear Elder Rick, Lord. Continue to bless him, continue to keep him as a leader, dear Lord, in his community, in his church. We ask you to pour your Holy Spirit upon him, my Lord, as he's praying for his church, praying for those in the community. Lord, we ask you to hear his cry. He lift up Ashley and all his children and grandchildren to you, Lord, this moment. You know their needs. We have good news, Lord, when we hear about their recovery of our dear, loving granddaughter, Sister Ashley. Continue to pour your blessings upon her, Lord, and keep her so that she will be a light, Lord, wherever she's working, that she will demonstrate Christ and Christ alone. We lift up our dear beloved Sister Carla. Continue to bless her in her ministry down Tennessee, Lord, and help her, dear Lord, as she showers down our love for towards our patient and presenting the words to them. Dear Lord, we lift them up to you. Heavenly Father, we lift up Brother and Sister Richardson in Tennessee. Continue to bless them as they work for you, labor in the field. Lord, I just want to give you praise. Lord, I want to lift up Sister Martin and Brother Martin, who came on this line many times singing praise from Tennessee. Lord, bless them as the praise report that she have gotten given today, dear Lord, how you have provided a little kitchen for them that they will be able, dear God, to go out there and fix healthy meal, Lord, for the community and for those people around them, dear Lord. So we ask you, dear Lord, to bless them and allow them not only the meal, but they will get the tracts and the book, that they will be blessed, Lord Jesus. So we ask you to cover that little business in your care. We also lift up our dear beloved brother O'Neill as he pray for his children, them, Lord. You know everything about his children. We ask you to, as the great physician with his daughter who hurt her feet, Lord, we ask you for your healing process, and I know that you are able to do all things. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up Brother Serge, Lord. Those are my manservant who you had been using during those years, Lord Jesus, that passed. We have not been hearing from them, but dear Lord, tonight, Brother Serge and his family, and Lord, we lift them up to you. You are God, Lord. Continue to bless Brother O'Neill. Keep him, guide him in the ministry in Bronx and what he is doing, Lord, to lift you up and to share your words to the dying world. So we lift them up to you. Father, this evening we lift up Sister Stephanie. Continue to bless her, Lord, as she presents your word, your help message, and share your love to others, Lord, and as she's praying on our behalf, dear Father, for her, the educator, dear Lord, we ask you to bless her, Lord, in this our time that we are living in, and the decision, Lord, that each one of us have to make, Lord, we ask you to keep her, that she will be faithful. She lift up her daughter, Carja, this moment to you. We are asking you as the great physician, Lord, with her face broke out. We do not know what it is, but you know because you are the great physician. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, for your healing touch. And also, KJ, Lord, we lift up Sister Carlos, the daughter and son, Amanda, dear, and Nicholas to you, Father's young people. Allow them to be faithful to you. We lift up Brother Elroy, dear Father, one of your servants who are presenting the word clearly, Lord Jesus, to Peter, his brothers and his sister. We ask you to strengthen him, himself and his wife, who was not feeling well, Lord. we ask you to strengthen them. Lord, we lift up our dear beloved brother Eli. You know everything about brother Eli as he come with power, with strength, with vigor, Lord, with praise in his mouth and thankfulness for what you have done for him. He's praying, Lord, for his decor job that you have allowed him to have, Lord, to receive. And dear Father, he's praying for Jovel Johari and Jamel, Lord, and Pasco, Hisma, and Ebony, dear Lord, and also praying for Simiko, Lord, and the others, brothers and sisters who join his list. He has a long list. His mother he is praying for. Lord, we know. You know everything about us and what we need, Lord, some financial, some spiritual, Lord, some sickness, Lord, some problem children, problems, Lord, and all different problems. But, dear Father, you are our burden bearer, and you are our problem solver. So we lift them up to you. We lift up our dear beloved sister Barnaby. Lord, continue to bless her. We miss her, Lord. Help, Lord Jesus, that she's okay, Father God, to keep and to guide and to protect her and her family members. Dear Father, you are God, and there is nothing too hard that you cannot do. So we give you all the praise that due to you. Father, lift up my sister Brenda and brother John. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercies and your blessing to keep them despite of the difficulty that they have met, Lord, them during the disaster, dear Father, with the water. But you have kept them strong, Lord. Continue to keep them as they are working on the house, Lord, that they will be able to relocate their father soon. Lord, you are so good. You have your people and you have been taking good care of them. Now, dear Lord, we place Sister Leola and Brother Ray, who is traveling to Alabama, now on the road. Lord, we ask you for your protection, your mercies, and allow them, dear Lord, that they will reach there safely, Lord, and whatsoever they have to do, dear Lord, that you will allow them to get through it, dear Lord, and give them safe journey back home. We also lift up Sister Nelda. Continue to bless her, Lord. We lift up our dear beloved Sister Tamiko as she lift up her list, Lord, her son, Taiwan, her son, Tony, and Keisha, and also Tony Jr., dear Father, grandchildren. And she lift up Mary and Elizabeth. Miriam and also Elizabeth and Rochelle, the Pastor Duby, Lord Sister Rose and Dorothy, her mother, Lord, and also her siblings, Lord, and all her list, dear Father, of people who are asking her to pray on their behalf for certain situation that is they are facing. Some need a spiritual revival in their heart. Some need financial blessing. Some need, Lord, have been suffering with depression. Dear Lord, some have been fighting, Lord, with abusive situation with their fiancé, Lord. There are so many things going on. And this evening, dear Lord, we have a little time that we can lift up these needs, dear Father. As you told us in 2 Timothy 3, that difficult times for Christian service now. And difficult times is for us perilous times shall come. And we have been seeing, Lord, all the things that is happening. And we know it is difficult for us. But we have a loving Father, a Father who died on Calvary, a Father who promised if we be faithful to him, he will cover us and also he will keep us. So this evening, Lord, as I come, Lord, to lift up everyone here, dear Lord, allow us this evening that we will be blessed with the praise reported and the reading, scripture reading and testimony of praise and singing, Lord, and to be blessed with the sermon as we lift up our dear beloved Pastor
Hakeem James, who will be presenting the message tonight. Bless each heart and help us to be faithful tonight, Lord. We just want to thank you for this privilege that you have given unto us, a privilege, Lord, that we are here, Lord, and we can give you the praise that due to you. We can share your words and the blessings that you have brought. partake from you, Lord. So we just want to give you thanks. Bless us and keep us and guide us and protect us, Lord, that we will be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen and amen. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on the line. I know there is just a few of us on the line, but dear, as I pray, I welcome everyone. You know, there are some on the line, some of our brothers on the line, and we know that, you know, we are in the last days, brothers and sisters. And as I was going through the Bible before I start, I'm asking you to press 1, that you, I will open the line that you can share. But you said we are on the line and we have to give praise to God for what it is, what God has done for us. And he told us here, as Paul instructs us, brothers and sisters, that difficult times is ahead of us. And difficult times is for even we as Christians to do the service. And also the last day characterized by sinfulness. So in this last day, we have been seeing what is happening in this world. Crisis all around. And Paul said in him, 2 Timothy 3, I will just read a little part of it with a long list of things that Paul told us is going to happen into this world. But God is there and he's able to keep us. It said here, well, you can get your Bible, King James Version, 2 Timothy 3, and we can read 1 to 6. And we can see some of the things that is happening around us, even in our own eyes, that we saw what God have warned us to Paul and the other disciples, what is going to take place in this world. So it is stating here, my dear brothers and sisters, in 2 Timothy 3, said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. And there are some of the least lovers of their own self. They will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trace breakers, false accuser of in contempt, fierce, despised, unholy, without natural affliction, trace, abuse, breakers, false accuser, incontinent, thankfulness, more than lovers of God, and having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So these are some of the things that Paul is warning us. A great list, he said here, as Paul reference, right? And this reference is to us in the last days. That Paul referenced that to them, the last days revealed a sense of urgency. And he said the last day began after Jesus' resurrection. But when the Holy Spirit come upon the believers at Pentecost, they will continue the work until the second coming of Christ. So brothers and sisters, despite of what is going to happen, Jesus promised us, right? He promised us if we be obedient to his will, if we be faithful, as we read a while ago, 2 Timothy 3, about the difficult times ahead of us, we are not supposed to be fearful because we have a loving Father who promised he will supply our needs according to our riches in glory. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to start opening the line. Now is the time for you. If you want to share, press 1 that you can share. Give your praise report, testimony. We prayed already and also pray for everyone on this line. And we know that we have a loving Father who cares for us so much. that he promised us peace, he promised us joy, he promised us joy in our heart, and also he promised us that he is our Father and we have to be faithful to him. So I'm going to open this first line. 518-744, your line is open. Okay. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, can you press 1 that you can share a song, a praise report? Now is the time that we are opening the line. The Lord said we are 2 or 3 gathered together. I don't want Sister Powell alone. She will be your host tonight. I don't want Sister Powell alone to be talking on the line. So I'm asking my dear beloved brothers and sisters to press 1 so that we can share the goodness of God, what he has done for each and every one on the line. So this is the time. Please, if you want to share, you can press 1.
Amen.
5, 4, 2. Sister
Carla,
I don't know what's going on here.
I can't hear you.
You hear me now? 4, 2, 3. Yes, you're hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Good evening.
Good evening, my dear.
Yes,
hope in your life.
Okay, how are you? Thank you. This is Sister Carla. I'm calling from Tennessee. It's raining here. It's supposed to rain until, I believe, Wednesday, but I'm just thanking the Lord in the midst of everything. He is worthy to be praised, and I'm just thanking him, and I'm just lifting up his name right now, magnifying his name, and I would like to try and sing this song. I will sing of Jesus' Love 183. I will sing of Jesus' love, sing of him who first loved me. For he left bright worlds above and died on Calvary. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise my heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depth of love divine, earth or heaven can never know. how that sin as dark as mine can be made as white as snow. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise my heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Nothing good for him I've done. How could he such love he store? Lord, I owe, my heart is now my love to show. I will sing of Jesus' love and let's pray. My heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing his love for to me and you, brothers and sisters. And I would like to offer a prayer. Amen. Yes, I'm on my way to work and I might lose reception, so I want to offer a word of prayer.
Amen,
kind and loving Father, I thank you ever so much, Lord. I thank you for this prayer line. I thank you for the 2 and the 3, the 4, the 5, 6 that's gathered night after night to praise you, O Father, no matter the circumstances, no matter the time, O Lord, no matter what's going on in their life, they come in to praise you and to remember you, Lord. And we just thank you for this opportunity we get, Lord, because these lines, these phones will be cut off, the internet will be cut off, and we have to learn to sing songs and to praise you and not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed to share it with our friends and our family and our coworkers and our clients and our enemies, even those that look down upon us, Lord, you will hold us responsible for not sharing with them no matter what, Father. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel because we are your disciples, Lord. We are your people, your remnant, O Lord, that you have called out of darkness unto your marvelous light. And we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify, we magnify your name, Lord. Please protect us and guide us, O Father. You know the circumstances that your children are in. Some are jobless. Some have no hope, O Father. But you said cast your cares upon you, for you cared for us, and we thank you, Lord. You have went to heaven, made every provision for us, and you said you want to see us in heaven, Lord. You want to see us on that sea of glass, O Father, that we may sing the song of Moses, that we may throw our crowns at your feet, Lord, that we may glorify and magnify your name and touch you, Father, and see you and speak to you one-to-one, O Father. We just thank you. We praise you, Lord. Protect us and guide us, the young people, O Lord. Cover them, Lord. They are living in sin. They don't know when probation is going to close. No one knows, but cover them. Help them to get into the ark. Help them to accept you as their Savior before it's too late. Each and every one of us have to have that personal relationship. Please, Lord, have mercy upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving and honor. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carlo. I know you're going to work. Thank you for the time you spend that you can join us tonight. God is so good, my dear. And, you know, for the song, you know, I will sing of Jesus' love. Keep continuing of his love, my dear sister, because this is what is going to keep us during this time when even the internet is gone. We have nothing to look upon, but we have God's song, God's word. So we just want to thank you for sharing. We wish you a safe journey as the weather down there is not good. We wish you a safe journey and have a good night with your patient. God bless. Thank you again for sharing and also thank you for praying. Amen. 518-744-7747. 518-744, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Paula, folks in my line. This is Brother Rick in Fort Ann, New York, and praising the Lord for another day. And I apologize. I think you opened my line earlier, Sister. I was right in the middle of sawing a board, and I couldn't hear. So if you opened that, I apologize for not being on there. I was listening, and I just had to do one more thing, but just listening to Sister Carlos' praises and praise the Lord for godly people to praise Him. Sister, thank you for your prayers earlier. Just it really does a person good to hear everyone being lifted up in prayer, and I'm just grateful for another day Sister Carla was talking about it raining. It's raining here also, and I think we're supposed to have rain all day tomorrow into Tuesday, and I'm supposed to be working outside tomorrow, but I praise the Lord that I was able to switch things around so we can go inside tomorrow and then back outside on Tuesday to work. And I didn't really want to work in the rain and get wet all day long. It's not a whole lot of fun, but you know what? God is good. He works things out for us no matter what the situation is, and oftentimes we don't give him the credit, the praise for that. We just think, well, you know, this just happened that way. But you know what? God is working every little detail of our lives out for us, and we need to remember to praise him and thank him for that, because without that, we would be in a very, very sorry place. So just praising the Lord today, Sister. We had a wonderful Sabbath yesterday. God is good. I got to talk to my daughter Ashley today. I've been trying to get a hold of her for a week and a half here. She hasn't called me back, and she's been working many hours. She's getting like 75 or 80 hours a week working at her job at the nursing home, caring for the patients there. And she called me today and told me she was doing well. I was praising the Lord because she just got a place of her own, which she has not had a home of her own for probably 5 or 6 years now. It's been quite a while since she left her last place. And she was living on the streets for a while. We didn't know where or what was going on with her. She almost died a couple times. I had to bail her out of jail a couple times. It was a very long road, but she is doing well, praise the Lord. I just praying for now, sister, for her spiritual condition. You know, she physically and emotionally, she seems to be doing well, but she is still not giving the glory to God. And we, as you and I both know, as all of us know that are listening, that if we don't give the glory to God, then things are not right in our lives. And so I'm just praying for Ashley's spiritual condition, and also praying tonight for my daughter Emily, who is the youngest one. She'll be getting married here in less than 3 weeks. We have to drive all the way to California for that. We'll be leaving in 2 weeks. We'll be in Michigan 2 weeks from tonight. Then we have to drive from there to California. And I'm not really looking forward to the drive, but you know what? We're going to get to see some of God's creation that I've never seen. You're going to be able to go through the state of Nebraska and into Wyoming and then Utah. And I've never been in any of those states, and I want to see some of that scenery that God has created. So I'm just thankful that we'll be able to get a chance to do that. But Emily is on her way back from Maryland right now. She went down to visit my oldest daughter, Bonnie Jo. So she's traveling back from Maryland. She's got about 5 more hours to go, so just praying that the Lord will keep her. She said she was driving 80 miles an hour, and everybody was passing her. She said she wanted to go to the speed limit, but as she went to the speed limit, she was afraid somebody was going to run into the back of her because she would be going way slower than they were. So I just told her, well, stay in the slow lane and go whatever speed you have to go, and God will take care of her. So just praying for her safety, sister. And I just wanted to lift up my brothers and sisters on the prayer line right now, sister, if I may. And we can't have too much prayer. So Lord, tonight we just come before you. Lord, you've heard the prayers of Sister Carla, Sister Powell, as they have lifted up all the brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. And we just do thank you for their godly witness to each one of us, Lord, for their passion for the gospel, Lord, for spreading the good news to those around them, Lord. Father, may each one of us have that spirit of love for others, Lord, that we will desire the very best for them, Lord, that we will lift them up to you, Lord, that we will not be upset or angry at them because they may not be doing what we want them to do, Lord. May we love them as you do, Lord. You don't get angry at us. You don't punish us for the wrongs that we do, Lord. In order, I pray that we can have that same spirit towards our brothers and sisters, Lord. We need you desperately, Lord, as we look at them, we see the things going on in their lives, Lord. And Father, we know that your Holy Spirit is the only one that can entrust them to do the right things, Lord. And Father, as we consider them, Lord, we also want to look up ourselves, Lord. Father, we are not sinless. We are not blameless, Lord. We come before you, Lord, asking for your forgiveness, Lord, asking for your mercy and your grace, Lord, and your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and our lives to overflow, Lord, so that we can be that witness that you've called us to be, Lord. You've given us so much, Lord, and Father, sometimes we want to keep it to ourselves, but Lord, I just ask that you would entrust us to pass that on to everyone else, not keep it to ourselves, Lord. It does us no good if we keep it. You told us to pass that on. You will water, you will grow. We just need to do that job of planting that seed of your goodness, your soon return to others, Lord, the desire for them to be in your kingdom, oh Father. Father, all my brothers and sisters on the line, I just want to lift them up to you, each one that is listening. Lord, I know there are many that are not listening, so we just want to remember them, Lord. Think of Brother Bernard, who is over in the Philippines. I see on Facebook, Lord, we just ask for his safety and your spirit to be upon him as he is over there to witness. And Lord, all of our brothers and sisters, Lord, I just think of so many that are not on the line anymore. We want to just lift them up to you, Lord. May your spirit be striving with them mightily each moment of each day, Lord, so that they will come back, Lord, and witness to you of your goodness, Lord. Father, you have been so good to each one of us. You have given us much more than we deserve, much more than we need, oh Lord. And Father, you are going to be requiring us to use that to help others shortly here, Lord. We see the events in this our country and this world that are going on, Lord, and we know that things are going to come to a point where we will be needing to help others, Lord, physically with food and shelter and all those things, Lord. May we not turn anyone away, Lord. May you guide us and give us wisdom, Lord, so that we will be your workers, Lord. Your ambassadors to a dying world, oh Father. Guide us and bless us, Lord. Be with our children, be with our grandchildren, be with our families, Lord. All of our family members, Lord. We lift them up to you. Just thank you for Sister Powell, who is hosting tonight. We do lift her up and her ministry in Jamaica, Lord, as she is supposed to go there. And I don't know when she is going or if she is going, Lord, but we do. So please bless her family, and her witness in Jamaica, Lord, and in her church and in her community, Lord. Guide us and keep us, oh Father God. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Paul, I just wanted to ask you about your mission trip to the to Jamaica.
Yes,
you told
yes,
me.
Brother.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you can continue, Brother Rick. I was just going to share it and let you know. Receive the gift and
Yes, Brother Rick.
You're hearing me clearly?
Yes, I'm hearing you clearly.
Okay. Yes. I just want to share, Brother Rick, what is happening now. I heard that the virus is down there, you know, and we have a lot of lockdown and all these things happening.
Yes.
So I'm waiting a little till everything clear up, because I don't really want to go down and find myself into that situation. But so far, even this morning with the project, you know, I have been praying that God will bless us, that we will be able to get someone, you know, and we are working with that. There that something can start. So that is what we are working on by the grace of God. I was able, despite I wasn't able to go even last year to send quite a few barriers down for the children and also the parents, you know. So I'm also planning to do a few of that, you know, until they clear, because I heard it is very, very difficult here and very bad at this time, you know, for us to go in. And we know what they are going on with, you know, the vaccination and this and that and all the things like
yes.
the confusion. So, Brother Rick, I want to thank you again on behalf of the children. And we are still working towards the project because, you know, when it's
Amen.
A big project, we think it's so, but it's really a big project. But God is able. There is nothing too big for the Lord, you know, if we trust him.
Mm.
So I do know that
Amen,
God is going
sister.
To work out something. So I will inform, you know, we call for around 2 contractors. You know, and we give them, ask them, you know, to give a price because, you know, nobody wants to do nothing now for nothing. You have to give up something to give them, right? So
yes.
they are supposed to send some figure for us. So that is what we are trying to work on up on this time. But God have been blessed.
Amen, sister. We'll just keep praying for you.
Yes, dear. God, thank you, brother, and everyone. All right. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to open this line, 5 8 5 7 5 0 5. Your line is open. Can you hear
Hello, Sister Power. Hello, beloved brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God, Sister Power, because God is good. He's awesome. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, I have a prayer. I have a testimony. I like to thank God for his love, his mercy. He is good for all of us, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, have faith in the Lord because God is able to do all things. God is a mighty God. God is merciful, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, God will break every chain for you tonight, brothers and sisters. And Sister Barbara, prayer request before I sing a song. My prayer request tonight, Sister Power, is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Power. Sister Power, lift up my mother in prayer. Pray for me too, Sister Power. Lift me up in prayer. Sister Power, don't forget to pray for our dear sister, Shamika. It's David and S, Sister Power. Her name is S-H-E-E-R-I-C-A, Sister Shamika. Lift up Sister Shamika in prayer too. And Sister Power, I already invite her on the Advent Light Ministry. I tell her to come Advent Light Ministry. I say, Sister Shamika, if you have a question for Sister Power, call Sister Power and tell Sister Power if you want to bring a powerful message on the prayer line. I say, Sister Shamika, if you want to bring a powerful message on the prayer line on Thursday, call Sister Powell at 518-489-5879. And I tell her that if you have questions for Sister Powell, we reach out to her at 518-489-5879. And Sister Powell, tell Sister Shamika, when I'm finished, I'm singing, tell her to reach out to you at 9 p.m. and pray for Brother Jari. Sister Powell, lift up Brother Jari in prayer. Pray for Brother Jamal. Lift up Brother Jamal in prayer. Sister Powell, pray for Sister Tina. Lift up Sister Tina in prayer. Pray for Brother Kevin. Lift up Kevin in prayer. Pray for brothers and sisters on the prayer line. And Sister Powell, pray for our dear Sister Tamika too. Lift up Sister Tamika in prayer. And Sister Powell, don't forget to tell Sister Shamika if she have any questions for you, she can reach out to you, 518-489-5879. Sister Powell, can I sing a song? Let me sing a song, Sister Powell. how Sister Powell, let me sing a song. He is exalted, the King exalted on high. I praise him. He is exalted, the King exalted on high. We praise his name. Oh, he is the Lord, forever Jesus away, heaven and earth, rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Sister Powell, if you have any questions for you, reach out to your sister Shamika, because she's a young lady, and she wants to preach the gospel on the prayer line. Sister Powell,
Yes, Brother Eli, thank you, Brother Eli, for that song, and also for sharing. And sure, we, Sister Shamiko, if you're on the line and you want to share, you know, we welcome you. And this is the time that you can press 1 if you want to share and give a testimony, a praise, how God is good to you and how your dear brother Eli has invited you on the line. So thank you, Brother Eli, for you know your song, and also for sharing. To be faithful, Brother Eli, you are a faithful soul, and I know that you are presenting the message out there, and you would like every one of your friends, right, to join this line and also to get the true message that they too can share with others. So we just want to thank you, and so we will be praying for your prayer list. God bless and thank you. I'm opening this line, brothers and sisters. 272-770, your line is open. You can share your name, where you're calling from. If you want to sing a song, praise report.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Powell. And God bless you all. My name is Tymiko from Pennsylvania. God bless you too, Brother Eli. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you so much for thinking of us. I would like to also lift up everybody in prayer on this prayer line this evening. And I would like to sing a song, but I just want to give praise and thanks to the Lord because he has been doing so much for me in my life. I'm so grateful to have the Lord in my life, because without God, we could do nothing, and we are nothing. So I'm so grateful that God is in my life. He's helping me, helping my children, my son Taiwan. He has blessed him with many blessings. And also the Lord is blessing me with many blessings. The Lord has given me a Bible study. So I'm studying with my dear sister Christy from my other church, my Seventh-day Adventist church in Pottsville. So we're studying in the Steps to Christ, and I'm so grateful about that. So I just want to give the Lord all the praise and all the honor and all the glory and all the adoration. Amen. And I would like to sing To God Be the Glory.
Amen.
341. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus apart. excuse me. Great things he has taught. Great things he has taught us. Great things he has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder and transport when Jesus we see. Excuse me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my sister, for opening my line. And please excuse me, my throat is a little bit dry. I have to get some water.
Okay,
but God bless you all,
drink.
My brother and sister.
Okay,
amen.
Drink some water. Drink some
amen.
Water.
Thank you.
Okay,
God bless you.
Okay, thank you, my dear sister Tamiko, for coming and also sharing. To God be the glory. Brothers and sisters, there is no other time. We need to give God the glory now and to praise him for all the things that our dear sister said he has done for her, great thing. And she's just praising the Lord of eating, feeding upon God's holy word by Bible studies with she and her sisters and her brothers. You know, God wants us to study his word, a word of truth, in this last day so that we can go and share with others. And as it said, as we read a while ago, perilous time, difficult time, brothers and sisters, is ahead of us. For we as Christians, right, we are going to face all this long list that Paul gave us in 2 Timothy 3. And the list is so long, but God is there for us. And it is this time that we're supposed to be ready and, you know, be obedient to God that we will be able to stand during this perilous, perilous time that is ahead of us, right? And as we have been seeing the things that is happening out there, right? So we have to take heed as God remnant people, God holy people, God royal priesthood, God wants us to be. So we are supposed to be different in everything. And on my iPod there, it said in the last day event, as we said, the last day is perilous time. And we know that day started with the crucifixion of Jesus from there. And we saw what happened to the disciples, my dear brothers and sisters, right? After the disciples have got the Holy Spirit within them in the day, you know, they were all changed and they were all filled at the day of Pentecost. And that work supposed to be continuing in our days, just as what the disciples have. Lord got the Holy Spirit upon them that they were able to present the message all over the world, wherever they go, in all the parts of the world, they were there to present the word. And this is the work that we are supposed to be doing, my dear brothers and sisters. So we're asking you all, let us be faithful. Let us be obedient to God so that we will be able, as his representative, to go and do his work. And this little reading here is saying the last day event. And it read, and also it is in Education 242 and Great Controversy, 538 paragraph 3, and also we find this reading quoting Psalms 87:7, also this portion in Great Controversy 536 paragraph 4. Brothers and sisters, we have the word, right? We have the message. So we are asking each one on this line as we join, not let us just join this line and come on this line and maybe praying on this line, but let us be faithful so that we will able to do the work that the Lord wants us to do. It says, God is to be had in reverence. True reverence for God is inspired by a sense of his infinite greatness and a realization of his
presence, right? So we're supposed to have the presence of God in everything we do. And with this sense of this unseen, the heart of every child should be deeply impressed, right? Our heart, brothers and sisters, on this line, the Lord wants our heart and bring to be clean. Our heart should be a heart that when we look up, people look upon us, they can see the impression of Christ within us. So I am asking my brothers and sisters, let us be faithful. Let us do the will of God. God wants us to do his will. And it also said here that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. So when we are in the midst of God, right, we should fear God and we should be reverent with God. We should be one who, you know, when people look at us, they see Christ and only Christ alone. So God wants us, you know, to be reverent of all them that are about him. And the last portion in stated here, his name, brothers and sisters, God's name, his name is to be reverence. Reverence should shown also for the name of God. Never shall that name be spoken like the brothers and sisters. I think I saw like Brother Akin is there joining to join us. So we are going, I saw a, like he was here and he'd come, you know, the line dropped. So brothers and sisters, we're going to go into a little season of prayer and then we will be ready for Brother Akin James, who will be presenting the message tonight. And as we was reading the reverence of God, his name is to be reverent. Reverence should be shown also for the name of God. And never should that name be spoken lightly or thoroughlessly. Even in prayer, its fervent or needless repetition should be avoided. So even in our prayer with God's name, repetition should be avoided. Holy and reverent is his name. And we found that in Psalm 199. Angels, as they speak it, veil their faces with what reverence should be, and who are falling and sinful take it upon their own. So, you know, God is to be praised with reverence in everything we do. So we know we have quite a few prayer. A while ago, Sister Carla lift us up in prayer. Also, our dear brother Rick and myself. So we had a great prayer. So we're just going to offer a short word of prayer that, and the next voice you will hear after the prayer, brothers and sisters, is our dear beloved brother Akin James, who will be presenting the message tonight. Father in heaven, we come to you this moment to give you thanks and praise for the blessings of the day. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters, dear Lord. You are so good. You are so great to us. Your protection towards each and every one of us, dear Lord, that we can come on this line in this form to praise you, to share your words of praise in songs, Lord, and reading your words and testimony of praise for all the things that you have done. To warn us in your words as we read, Lord Jesus, Matthew 2 Timothy 3 about the difficult times ahead of us for Christian. But Lord, despite of our difficulties, help us to trust you, Lord Jesus. We know that perilous times ahead of us, as Paul had warned us, Lord. And we know, dear Father, in your days, it was perilous time. But we thank you that we have a loving Savior who died for us and to allow us that we have hope. Pour out your blessings upon each one of us here tonight, dear Lord. We thank you for the line. We thank you for all the brothers and sisters, dear Lord, who came and share, Lord, their presentation, dear Father, who teaches us your word, dear Lord. Break it down so plain that your children could understand through the Holy Spirit, that we were able, dear Lord, could be able to share with others. So we give you all the praise. We present our dear brother Rick again to you, Lord, a leader, a servant of you, who are praying, Lord, especially the good news, Lord, where for him is children, Ashley, Lord Jesus, and his daughter, dear Father, and those who is traveling at this time, dear Lord, for the traveling mercies. We ask, Lord, praying for every one of us, dear Lord, that we will be blessed. We also thank you for our dear beloved sister Carla. Continue to bless her. You see her, the joy within her when she hears your word, Lord, and praising you, Lord, to Satamiko, as praying for her brothers and her sister, her children, and also this line, we lift up everyone to you. We lift up our dear beloved brother, sister Leola, who is traveling. Lord, we know it's difficult, the road raining, but we ask you to give them traveling mercies. Also lift up our dear beloved brother Eli, praying for his mother, Jovel Jari, Lord Shemiko, Lord, and his mother and himself, and praying, Lord, that these young people will join the line to give you all the praise. Now, dear Lord, lift up myself, Sister Stephanie, and everyone, Brother O'Neill again. We have lift them up to you, and you know their needs. You know what we need, dear Father. If there is no any time we need you now, so that we can come together as we come in this form and to give you all the praise. Bless our speaker tonight, and that the word, the fresh bread from heaven will come down to us, dear Lord, and that we will taste, Lord, of your good news, where we will be blessed through the Holy Spirit. So bless us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, again, thank you for joining. I'm asking my dear beloved to get your notepad, your books, and your Bible so that you can take notes. And the next voice you will hear is our dear beloved Pastor Akeen James. 301-340,
all right.
Your line is open.
All right, praise the Lord. This time, we'll continue in our study of the sanctuary. And if you have your Bibles with you, let's go in our Bibles to, once again, the book of Hebrews. And as we look at the book of Hebrews, we'll be looking at the reformatory movement once again that rose up while Jesus was in the holy place, and also the movements that rose up against the work that Christ was seeking to do. So as we go in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, we look at Hebrews chapter 9, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Let's have a word of prayer as we continue. Father, strengthen our minds, illuminate our minds and our hearts, draw us ever closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 states, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." So that was part of the first covenant. Ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Now, in that earthly or worldly sanctuary, it says, "For there was a tabernacle made, and in the first compartment of that tabernacle was the candlestick and the table and the showbread," or the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. So part of the sanctuary was the holy place, which was also called in Scripture the sanctuary, right? And in that compartment, that first compartment of the actual tabernacle, there were three major articles: the candlestick, the table of showbread, and you had also one of the other things that was part of this was the altar of incense, all right? So you had all of these aspects, the candlestick and the table and the showbread on top of that table and the altar of incense. Now, all three of these represents something as it concerns the spiritual life, and all three of these were aspects in which Jesus operated when he entered into the holy place. Now, you remember, Jesus Christ died in AD 31. And that was the same year that, of course, he rose, because he rose only a few days later. He went in and out among his disciples for the span of 40 days, and he educated them, helped them to unlearn and then to learn again. Now, not from the perspective of the teachers of the law, not from the perspective of the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of the nation, but as it is in Jesus, taught from Jesus' very lips, the truth of the Old Testament and the gospel that it foretold, the work of the Messiah. And so as Jesus unlocked these things to them, after that, Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, leaving them with these instructions now to carry forth. And as he ascended, according to the Old Testament principle, the very next place that the high priest would officiate in was the holy place. And so in 31 AD, approximately around that time, Jesus ascended to the holy place. And he was there until 1844, when he stepped into his final phase of ministry on behalf of the human race. And so from AD 31, or 31 AD, all the way to 1844 AD, which is the span of 1813 years, Jesus Christ was in the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And he was doing a powerful work there. What was that work that he was doing? Now we're going to look at it. Each and every one of these articles that was in the holy place has a symbolic significance. And so we're going to look at that at this moment. So the first thing that we're going to look at is the candlestick. According to the New Testament, if you go in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 8 and verse 12, it tells us there, Jesus speaking on a specific feast day, he rises up and he says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So what is Jesus revealing here? He is revealing the powerful revelation that when it comes to the Old Testament, the lampstand was to illuminate the entire sanctuary. So as the priest officiated in the sanctuary, the light from the lampstand would illuminate the entire sanctuary so he could see what he was doing. And that was to ever be kept, that lampstand was to ever be kept burning, was to ever be burning so that light can illuminate the sanctuary continuously. In the same way, Jesus Christ in the New Testament revealed that he is the spiritual light that has come to illuminate the world spiritually. And what is it that he has come to illuminate the world concerning? Friends, what he has come to illuminate the world concerning is found in John chapter 1 and verse 18. And this is why the sanctuary must be seen in the context of the great controversy. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son," and that's in reference to the Father, because it mentions the only begotten Son, right? Jesus Christ. It says, "No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father." And when we think of the organ behind the bosom from which Jesus came forth, the organ behind the bosom, in an allegorical sense, is what? The heart. And so John in John chapter 1 and verse 18 is speaking in an allegorical sense. Jesus came forth from the heart of God to do what? He hath declared him. So the Son of God has come to declare who? The Father. In other words, he came from the Father's heart in a spiritual figurative sense to reveal the Father's heart to the world. This is why Christ came into the world. Among all other subjects that Christ loved to dwell upon, it was the abundant and paternal love of his Father. Among all other topics, interwoven into every topic, was the love of God. That God is reluctant to judge, we are told in inspiration, but the judgment of God comes because his mercy has been despised. God bears long with nations. He bears long with individuals. He bears long with the world. But it is when individuals or nations, and ultimately one day, finally, the entire globe despises that mercy, except for the faithful, of course, that is when chaos breaks loose. That is when the judgments of God are poured out. But friends, it is after excruciatingly long periods of mercy. And so Christ, what did he come forth into the world to do? To illuminate the world as the light of the world concerning the Father's true character. Why? Because the enemy of souls has taken his characteristics and he has put it onto the Father. Therefore, men view God as a tyrant. And so Christ, the very Son of God, came into the world to reveal the truth concerning his Father, that rather than emulating the very characteristics of Satan, God instead was infinite love. And so now as we look at this, this is where we see that the lampstand is a symbol of Christ, the illuminator, not just of the sanctuary, but the illuminator of the world. And you know, it's very interesting. As you go to Revelation chapter 1, and you start off at verse 12. It's very interesting. When John first hears a voice in verse 11, and this is what the voice says to him, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
I can't talk to you, brother. I'm on the line.
Then it states here, it says in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. So this is a representation now of the actual candlesticks that were in the sanctuary, all right? Now look at what it says here. I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now that is sanctuary imagery, which is telling us where Jesus is. And look at what it says here. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. So this is powerful. Jesus Christ is standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And we're seeing here, this is a reference, the candlesticks or the lampstand is what? It is taken from the sanctuary. So we're realizing where Jesus is at this moment. He is in the heavenly sanctuary, but he is in the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary at this point when he's speaking to John. And so now we're seeing, okay, what is the relationship between Christ and this candlestick? He's in the very midst of it. And we know and understand that according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 21, it says here, or actually verse 20, it says here, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And here it is, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So this is very interesting. So the seven churches, Jesus stands in the midst of them, and he is light. But then you remember what God has called his church to ever be. These seven churches are symbols of ages of the church period from the time of the apostles all the way to the end of time. But what are these churches to be all the way to the end of time? Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 onward. You see what Jesus was to the world when he was here, the church is to continue to be. And they are continue to be, they must continue to be that to the world as they are connected to Jesus who says, I am the light of the world. Now look at what they become. It says in verse 14 onward, it says, you, Jesus says, speaking to his disciples and all those throughout the ages who would ever believe on their messages. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So what we're realizing here is that Jesus is the light of the world, and then Jesus says the church is the light of the world. So are there two lights or one? Friends, there is only one light. But it is as we come into connection with that light that we begin to reflect that light. You see, it's just like the sun and the moon. The light of the sun, do you know that it is ever in the sky? Even when the moon comes up, the light that the moon gives off is the light of the sun. The light that the moon gives off is what? Is the light of the sun. So therefore, in the same way, when it comes to the church, in the same way, okay, I'll wait a little bit.
Hi, sweetheart, how are you doing? I am on the prayer line, manager. You want to call you back? Okay, dear, all right.
All right. So when we look at the light of the sun and the light of the moon reflects the light of the sun, right? In the same way, the church does not give off its own light. The church is the light of the world as it connects with Jesus Christ, who is the source of that light. And so the light that we are revealing to the world is only the light of Christ. And what is that light? It says in verse 16, what is the light of Christ? It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it is by what we do that men know to whom we belong. And so this is the powerful thing that is being revealed in these passages. It is as we connect with Jesus, Jesus then is able to shine the light of good works, which is, by the way, his own life. That's the kind of life that he lived. It begins to shine out of our lives. And so this is the powerful thing that we're realizing. The light that we give off is the very life of Christ. But what was Christ's life filled with? It was filled with good works. Now, as we look at this, friends, the next thing that we're realizing, so then the lampstand is a representation of Jesus, it is a representation of the church, and it is a representation of the works that the church lives out, the good works that the church does, that they might be a light to the world. So basically, the lampstand is a life of evangelism. It is a life of manifesting the character of God to others, whether it be by word or whether it be by action. And it should be both. As this life is emanating from us, it is not other than a reflection of the life of Jesus. But then the table of showbread also represents something. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ states, when speaking to the enemy of souls, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, when it comes to the table of showbread, the bread there is representing not just the 12 tribes of Israel, because they were 12 loaves of bread. But this bread not only represents the 12 tribes, it represents how the 12 tribes are sustained. The people of God are sustained by his word. Why? Because there's power in that word. And because of the one the word reveals. In the book of John chapter 6, and verse 51, it tells us, Jesus says there in John chapter 6 and verse 51, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. In other words, he shall be sustained forever. Just as physical bread sustains us, physical food sustains us, Christ says if we partake of him, if we seek him in the scriptures, and seek to feast on that life as we feast on God's word, we will live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. In other words, in order to sustain the life of the earth. So this is what God is revealing. The table of showbread represents the word of God. And it represents the living word, Jesus Christ. All right? Now, in light of this, this is very interesting. When we get to the altar of incense, the altar of incense reveals something crucial to us. The altar of incense, by the way, was made of gold. It was different from the material that was made when it comes to the articles that were outside of the sanctuary. You see, the articles outside of the sanctuary, they were made of brass. But once you get into the sanctuary, all of the articles were made of gold. And so as we look now at the altar of incense, this is the golden altar. When you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 6, you have Jesus coming before the Father in the holy place, because we're going to see an article mentioned here, referenced, in the holy place to take the scroll from his hand. This is when Jesus ascended to heaven, shortly after his resurrection, his death, resurrection, and teaching the disciples. Christ had then ascended to heaven. Now, when he ascended there, he went to the Father and took the book, the scroll, from his hand, which contained the seven seals on it. And friends, when he does this, this is what it says, and I beheld, verse 6 of Revelation chapter 5. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that had sat, that him that sat upon the throne. Now look at this. This is very interesting, because notice how Jesus is identified. Calvary is being referenced in his identification. It says in verse 6 again, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, as it had been slain. In other words, this is a reference to Calvary. In other words, the cross was a recent event when this verse was written. In other words, it had just happened. Now Jesus has ascended to heaven. He's standing before the Father. And then verse 8 says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are, here it is, the prayers of the saints. Now, you know what's interesting? When you go to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, this is what it mentions to us in connection with the trumpets. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints, where? Upon the golden altar which was before the throne. You see that? So therefore, this is a reference to the golden altar. Not the altar of brass, which is the altar of burnt offering, but the golden altar. The only golden altar in the entire sanctuary system was the altar of incense. So this is a reference to the altar of incense. Jesus in the holy place. And what is it connected to? The prayers of the saints. So while the table of showbread, while the lampstand represents a life of evangelism, testifying to the character of God, the table of showbread represents the word of God, and the altar of incense represents a life of prayer, the prayers of the saints. All three of these are integral to the Christian being sustained spiritually and growing spiritually. And so this is powerful. These are the three articles that are in the holy place. Now, in light of this, friends, these articles, while Jesus was in the holy place, the question now is, just like the articles in the courtyard were attacked by the religious leaders while he was in the courtyard, when Jesus now transitioned into the holy place for 1813 years, from AD 31 all the way to 1844, were those articles attacked? The answer is yes. You see, during this time, the Bible tells us, if we go in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, it tells us in verse 6, speaking of God's church, during the time that Jesus was in the holy place, it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her how long? For 1,260 days. 60. So 1,260 days. Speaking of this same time period, if you skip down to verse 14, it mentions, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. From what? From the face of the serpent. You go back up to verse 9, and it tells you who the serpent is. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the serpent is the devil. So the woman fled into the wilderness for 3.5 years, time, times, and half a times, or 1,260 days, to be protected from the devil. This means that the devil was doing some kind of persecuting work against this woman, right? Now, a woman in Bible prophecy, according to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 2, is a symbol of none other than the church. It's a symbol of the church. And depending on the context, it's a symbol either of an apostate church or a true church, a faithful church. In this context, if the serpent is persecuting this woman, that means this woman has to be a symbol of the faithful, God's church. Now, this woman would hide out for how many days? 1,260 days. Not by coincidence, that's how many days are in 3.5 years. So when you look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 and Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14, we are talking about the same time period. 3.5 years, time times and half a time, or dividing a time, is 1,260 days. So as we look at this now, we're talking about the same time period. This woman fled to the wilderness, to a place prepared for her by God in the wilderness, to flee from being persecuted by the dragon. Now you remember, in Bible prophecy, according to Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, and Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34, in Bible prophecy, a day represents a year. Among many other scriptures that bring forth, and stories that bring forth this point, but these are two major scriptures that emphasize the point. A day in Bible prophecy represents a year. So as we are looking at the prophetic time period in verse 6 of Revelation 12, of 1,260 years, 1,260 days, I should say, if we're looking at Bible prophecy, which we are in the prophetic book of Revelation, that then means 1,260 days would be equivalent to the time period of 1,260 years. So there will be a time of 1,260 years when the woman would be hiding from the face of the serpent, hiding from persecution from the devil. Now, when does this time period happen? Look at it. Verse 6 says the time period, right? But look at it in verse 5. It speaks of a man-child being born, and it says, and she, that is a woman, the same woman, brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Whoa. So what the Bible is telling us here, and it's interesting, as you look at different scriptures throughout the Bible, you realize, even Revelation 19 itself, shows us that Jesus is the one who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, that all nations would succumb to his authority and reign. So the man-child here that the woman brings forth is none other than the Messiah. You remember, that's how it happened in history. It was the Jewish nation, who was the church of God at the time, from whom salvation came. In what sense? It was out of the Jewish nation that Christ came. Out of the descendants of Israel, Jesus came from the line of Judah. And so this woman here mentioned in Revelation chapter 5, prophetically, is not a symbol of Mary, as some teach. No, no, no. It is rather a symbol of God's people from whom the Messiah would come. And how did he come? Directly from the line of Judah, a descendant of David, born from the Jewish nation as a Jew. And so as he came forth from the Jewish nation, we're realizing that, whoa, then verse 5 is covering the life of Jesus in a snapshot. Hence, it covers his life. And then what does it say at the end? And her child was caught up to God and to his throne, speaking of the ascension of Christ. So in one verse, it just covers over the life of the Son of God. Because later on, it touches on it more. But now it's just touching on the life and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. This is what verse 5 is covering. Therefore, verse 6, which is after Jesus' ascension, that means verse 6 happens after Jesus' ascension. Do you see that? So verse 5 talks about Jesus' ascension. It covers his life in one verse. And then right after this, it says the woman now. Now we're in the New Testament period. From verse 5 backward, you cover the Old Testament. The Old Testament Jewish church brought forth the Messiah. And then now the Messiah has ascended. Now the continuation of the faithful, the church, and now the New Testament church fled into the wilderness. So the question is now, was there a time after Jesus' ascension that the church was persecuted, being persecuted so badly that it fled into the wilderness for protection for the space and the time span of 1,260 years? The answer is yes. When you look at Revelation chapter 13, it tells us why this church fled into the wilderness for that length of time. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, speaking of the papal system, the first beast guilty of blasphemy, listen to how long it reigns. It says in verse 5, and there was given unto him, this is speaking of the first beast of Revelation 13, which many times before we've identified from Scripture, is none other than the papal system. It says, speaking of this system, it says, and there was given unto him, the papacy, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Blasphemies meaning claiming the prerogatives of God, the right to forgive sins, and the right to claim equality with God. This is a system that fits both of those definitions and more. Speaking blasphemies, and power was given unto the system to speak blasphemies for how long? To continue for 42 months. Not by coincidence, if you're counting it according to the reckoning of the Jewish calendar, 30 days to each month, you realize, because you remember, John is a Jew in terms of his ancestry, and also Daniel, which mentions the same time period, but in the form of time times and half a time, or 3.5 years, sometimes in the dividing of time, this time period is equivalent 3.5 years, 1,260 days is equivalent to 42 months. 3.5 years, how many months is in 3.5 years? 42 months, if there are 30 days to each month. And so what we're realizing is, whoa, this is the same time period as the 1260, the same time period as the 1,000, as the time times and the dividing of times. All three are covering the same time span. So now what we're realizing here is that the papacy was speaking blasphemies and doing great things, speaking great things and blasphemies for how long? 42 months, which is 1,260 years, which is 3.5 years prophetically. And not only was it speaking blasphemy, you continue reading, it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Now check this out. To blaspheme not only his name, which is a symbol of his character, but then his tabernacle,
You see that? So this revealed that the papacy was attacking the tabernacle of God. It was blaspheming the tabernacle. But how so? There's no tabernacle of God on earth after Jesus Christ died. Friends, it's talking about the tabernacle in heaven. To blaspheme the sanctuary service in heaven. Do you remember at this point Jesus is in the holy place with the lampstand, with the table of showbread, and with the altar of incense. So somehow the papal system was attacking the articles in the holy place. It was attacking the holy place. It was attacking the tabernacle. But not only was it attacking the tabernacle and them that dwell therein, it says in verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Do you see it? So because, what does that word war mean? In other words, the papal system was not only warring with the saints, but overcoming them. In other words, the persecution was insane. It was intense. Do you see now why for that same time period, 42 months, which is 1,260 years prophetically or literally, do you see now why God's faithful were fleeing into the wilderness? They were fleeing into the wilderness because they were being persecuted by the first beast of Revelation 13. They were being persecuted by the papacy. So hence, they had to flee into the wilderness for them to survive. And this is historically proven, friends, both in secular history and in religious history, that it was during this reign of the papacy from 538 AD all the way to 1798 AD, which is 1,260 years, papal persecution, that many of those who would not go along with the dogmas of the papal system, they had to literally flee into the mountains, into wilderness territory for them to be protected. That was the only way that the Church of God survived, from the Waldensians to the Albigenses to many other groups that hid in the mountains to protect themselves and the truth. So friends, what we're realizing here is the power that was attacking the faithful of God during this time period was none other than the papal system. So I pray that this made sense to each and every one of us, that we're realizing that, whoa, somehow, in some way, shape, or form, the papacy was attacking. It was attacking the sanctuary, the tabernacle in heaven. And next time we're going to see just how it did this. How did it attack these three articles in the sanctuary, in the holy place, while Jesus was there? And what did Jesus do about it in light of this attack? All right? So let's have a word of prayer as we end. Father in heaven, I pray that, Lord, you will continue to guide us and strengthen us. I pray, O Lord, that just as the people of old were able to stand for the truths of your word, regardless of the intensity of the persecution, that we will be able to stand in wisdom and Christ-like balance in this generation, not being overzealous, not being fanatics, but having a zeal born of divine love, which is filled with wisdom, a wisdom that is so powerful that Christ says we would be as doves harmless and as serpents wise. Do this work in us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Akir, for that wonderful presentation about the sanctuary and what Christ was doing in heaven, how you have break it down for us. I know a lot of us will not be understanding it that clearly, but I thank God for the information, especially the scripture passages that we have and how you have break down the articles, the candlestick, the table of showbread, and also the incense, the altar of incense. So, you know, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank God that we are here on this land getting all these wonderful, wonderful, precious, you know, study that we will be able, you know, to go and share these words, you know, and these message to others out there. So I just want to thank you, Brother Akeen, and especially Brother Akeen, this one that, the, you know, the church have to fled in the wilderness because of persecution. And you know what? It is coming upon God's people even now because, you know, as we are living in perilous time, we know that persecution is going to come upon God's people. But we want to thank God that we have a hope in Him and if He chooses, you know, just as how He goes through persecution, He will allow us to go through. So I just want to thank you all for thank our dear pastor for sharing. And I'm asking anyone here who may not understand and have something towards this study, right? Any one of the study or the scripture that you don't understand, I think every one of us have got some scripture, a lot of scripture our dear pastor share with us. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters, if you have a question towards the study and you would like to ask Brother Akeen that you are not clearly understood, I'm asking you to take off your name up there and just press back and I will reopen the line that you can ask the question. And then brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you all for joining. We were just a few on this line tonight, but we thank God that we were able to come on and to join. And I learned a lot, brothers and sisters, from this and all from this study. You know, I never get it so clear with the candlestick stick, the table of showbread, and also the altar, you know, and how important it was, these articles, and also the golden one for, you know, for the inner, and the golden one for the inner, and the outer one is for represent the brass represent the outer one. So I just thank God for that. Yes, brothers and sisters, there is no one. Our comment. I saw Brother Eli. Brother Eli, I'm going to open the line, but please do be briefly and just, you know, to the point.
Yes. Okay. Hello, Brother Akeem James. This is Brother Eli, Pastor Akeem James. I have a question for you. How come people are leaving the sanctuary? Because there's people who are leaving in the sanctuary. And second of all, others are leaving in the sanctuary because I don't know why they leaving, because Pastor King James, they should go back to God's sanctuary and study the Word of God and study the Bible too. And Pastor King James, with people should study too at home. Bible study, and people should study. And Sister Power, I want to encourage my brothers and sisters to study the Word of God, my brothers and sisters, young people, the youth, study the Word of God, because Brother Akeem, Pastor Akeem James, already studied the Bible. So
okay,
Sister Power, don't forget to pray for our dear sister Shamika too, that she can study the Word of God, and pray for that she can bring the message on the prayer line. Let's hop in prayer right now. Pray for Sister Shamika in a special way. Amen.
Okay, Brother Eli. Yeah. Brother Akeen, Brother Eli, I know you heard the question. I think the question is, how come people are leaving the church, the sanctuary, right? And it's encouragement, just as what you have been saying, that he's asking, he's saying that, you know, people need to study the Word. So I don't know if you want to answer Brother Eli's question. Open, Brother Akeen James. I open your line, Brother Akeen.
Your line is open, Brother Akin 301, Brother Eli. Question asking all people, why? Why people are leaving the sanctuary of the church?
Right. Right. So the reason that is happening is, so there's a twofold reason. So why people are leaving the sanctuary, and also why people, in a sense, are leaving the church, and also why people are turning away from the doctrine of the sanctuary. I think both are connected,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that what happens is, we are told that in the last days there would be an attack on the testimonies of God's Spirit, and as men, which are the writings that God has given us through his servant Ellen White. And then as men leave that light, slowly afterward, the same inspired writer states that men would then begin to question the Bible. In other words, they would begin to turn away from the doctrines of Scripture until they finally leave the movement fully, and leave not just the movement, but leave Christianity fully. And I've seen that within the past few weeks. A friend of mine who I knew, a brother of mine who I knew back in Michigan, he just would not believe, even though the evidence was clearly brought before him, and God only knows how clearly it was brought before him, but ultimately, because he thought he was so smart, he began to question, in the sense, Ellen White's writings. And I think we can question. We should be. God is not afraid of our questions. But the thing is, when the answers are given, will our hearts surrender to the answers? This is a great question that God is posing to us. And so he would not surrender. And as a result, he turned away from Ellen White as a prophet. Then he thought that he was a serious authority on the Bible. And then he began to find some major issues that he could not immediately answer in Scripture. And one of those issues was covering the aspect of, if God is so good, then why would he make these brutal commands in the Old Testament and have people killed and have the Israelites go in and judge other nations and kill them and their children? And so because he could not immediately answer that question, because he could not remember how good God has been to him, because he could not trust in the heart of God, even though there were things that he could not understand right when he asked him. And many are facing this, friends. Many people, because God does not answer them on their time, they choose to desert him. And so as this happened, he finally deserted. And he went up on social media and he says, and another friend and I, we saw it coming, because he continually came against us on our social media feed, in our inboxes, and we knew that this was coming. Finally, one day, after all these questions, and some of them receiving powerful answers to them, but not willing to receive it, finally came out on social media and said, I have renounced my faith in Jesus Christ. So now he is an agnostic / atheist. And these things happen, friends, when we do not have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, and when we are not willing to do whatever it takes to protect our relationship with God. So this is one of the reasons I would say people are leaving the church. Another reason, of course, is people are going through things in their own lives. And because they can't make sense out of those things, rather than seeking to grow spiritually and hang on and hold on. Friends, I would submit to you that this is one of the hardest things for the Christian. Between the time that a person becomes a Christian, or they come into contact with Christianity and they accept it, and the time that they die, or the time that Jesus comes, the hardest thing, not necessarily the perfection of character. That is hard. And that is one of the major goals that we have. But friends, even before we get to that, the hardest thing for many, I'm seeing it over and over now, is to hold on. That is the hardest thing for many people. It is to hang on until God in his divine wisdom chooses to answer us. I'm telling you right now, friends, there are certain answers we will not get to life's questions, to life's hardships, until the millennium. Sometimes there are some questions that we won't get answered until the millennium, friends. The question that God is posing to you is, will you trust me until then? Will you hang on until then? So this is why I want to propose. There's many other reasons, but this is one of the major reasons. Men are not willing to hang on regardless of how tough a life becomes. I have seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of many others. That's why we must guard our time with God. Ellen White says jealously. So hope that answers the question. And of course, that includes the sanctuary and everything. People are leaving the sanctuary doctrine because of the same reason. They're questions that they have, and rather than studying, seriously sitting down and studying our beliefs, they won't do it. They're listening to people online, and as a result, they're falling away. Friends, study the Word. Study the Word so that those things will happen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Akin, for answering this question. As you said, it's good for us to hold on, right? You know, I just look at Hebrews 10:23. It said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promises us. So God has promised us that by faith, and if we be hold on, faithfully hold on to his unchanging hand, God will allow us to carry. He will carry us through this prosecution that we know that we are going to go through. But all we have to do is to have faith in Jesus, to know that he is there for us. He has the counseling that we got this evening from our dear pastor is for each one of us to be faithful, each one of us to hold on and study, keep studying God's word. So I just want to thank everyone tonight, and thank you, Brother Akin, for that presentation. I know I am being blessed. You know, I have quite a few scriptures here that I took down, and I'm going back, you know, and there is a lot of study in that we have to go to. So I just want to give you, I just want to give God all the praise. And thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, for joining. So we just offer another word of prayer, and then we will close. Heavenly Father, which art in heaven this evening, we want to thank you for that fresh bread from heaven that you have given unto your children. We want to thank you for the question that was raised, Lord, and also the answer that we all have received from you, dear Lord. Help us, Lord, as the command to us that we must hold and trust you, have faith, despite of what the condition is or the crisis is, Lord, help us to have faith, to trust you and to lean upon you, Lord, because you are able and just to carry us to. Bless us tonight. Allow us to have a wonderful sleep this tonight, Lord, and just and wake us up tomorrow in our right mind. Bless each one of us tonight, we pray. And help us to be faithful. Help us to hold on to you. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Have a blessed night, and we will just close.